to his time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. And for these last 15 minutes together, a little bit of worldview watch, trying to learn to think with our Christianity, to discern the times we live in, to apply what we know from the Word of God to life around us. And today, a little bit on the arts and how to, well, understand the value of beautiful things. We're going to be talking today with Dr. Bruce Carvel about the Collegium Vocale of St. Louis, which is currently going to present a series, Four Sacred Cantatas by Christopher Grobner, Sunday, February 26th at 3 p.m. at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue. Welcome, Dr. Carver.
Good morning.
So talk a little bit about Collegium Vocale. What is that?
Well, we're a group of six singers that present three concerts a year and have been doing it for about 20 years. We're supported by instruments that are appropriate to the period and to the music that we're doing. This upcoming concert, for example, will have two violins, a viola, a cello, a baroque bassoon, organ, and flute. So sometimes it's just the singers, sometimes it's singers and instruments.
But trying to perform the music as it was originally written.
As close as we can come to it.
Yeah, okay. And so that piece that we just heard a little bit, can you talk a little bit about that?
That was the opening of a cantata by Christoph Graupner, who's the composer we'll be featuring next Sunday. It was written in 1734 for the fourth Sunday of Epiphany, which is about this time. It is concerned with the story of Christ awaking and calming the waters as related in Matthew.
So what is the value of Graupner? What's his history and place in arts?
Well, Graupner is a less known contemporary of Johann Sebastian Bach. Ah. He was a Lutheran composer as well. He was trained in Leipzig at the St. Thomas School, connected with the church. He spent a few years in Hamburg playing harpsichord in the famous opera in there, and came to be a friend of Handel and Telemann.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then in 1709, he was hired by the Landgraf of Hesse-Darmstadt and spent the rest of his working career working in that position in Darmstadt. In 1723, he did apply for the position at Leipzig, but his employer wouldn't let him go. So the job opened to Bach to take that. So,
yeah.
So there's a crossing of paths there as well. But we find that Graupner in the last 20 years is becoming to be known again. His music is available digitally online. So these pieces that I'm doing, I've edited from the original manuscripts, copies of the original manuscripts and parts that are available online, and which is a great blessing for us. Because as far as we know, this is the first time these pieces will have been performed since Graupner did them in the early 1700s.
So if somebody wanted to find this online, where would they go?
Well, there is a thing called the IMSLP, or the International Musical Library Source Portal or something like that. But if they just look up Christoph Graupner in Wikipedia, it will link them to that.
And Graupner spelled Graupner.
That's correct.
Christoph, can you spell that one?
Christoph.
It's so cool to rediscover music that, I don't want to call it ancient, that's not really fair, but older music that at one time the modern world kind of decided this is archaic. This is past its time. And there has been a swell in the arts recently, kind of out of the postmodern morass of chaotic music back to the structure and form of Christian music. And this is a really valuable thing from a Christian worldview.
Absolutely. Graupner wrote over 1,400 sacred cantatas. He had to produce one every week.
Yeah.
And most of those texts were written by Johann Conrad Lichtenberg, who was a pretty significant theologian in that time. Hmm. And so these are wonderful Lutheran pieces as well. The texts are, each cantata amplifies on the lectionary reading of the day. In fact, one of the ones that we're doing is from an earlier period, 1724, but concerned with the same lesson that the cantata that we heard at the beginning is focused on as well, of Christ waking and calming the stormy waves. And Graupner is able to depict these images in ways that make it more real and more concrete.
Right. So, I mean, you can kind of hear a little bit of the waves in that first part, right? The da 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 da.
Precisely, yeah.
So with the text, is the text is in German?
The correct? Text is in German, but we will have a program that will have the complete German text and English translations.
And then my question is, so with that text, is it like Handel did, where you just have the straight biblical text being kind of manipulated for the sake of the song, or is it more of a retelling?
Often what happens in the Graupner cantatas is he'll start with something that they call a dictum, which is a quotation of biblical text. And then there will be a series of usually two recitatives and arias for different soloists, and which expand on that image or on that idea.
So I said a moment ago that there's been a resurgence of high art, and I think this is something that's well beyond the church right now. That there are a number of young master organists out there, right, who are rediscovering, and these guys maybe don't have anything to do with Christianity, but they love the art. While at the same time, it seems that within the church, we've sort of lost a love for high art. Can you speak to the value of striving for the highest form?
Well, I've spent my life doing it, so of course I think it's something that's important. I do believe that by experiencing these texts in different settings, that we're able to get a different perspective on it. Something might become clearer that has been obscure before.
Yeah. And then what about then, like, in at least from my experience, as art mirrored, I'm going to go deep here for just a second, as art mirrored postmodern theory, which questioned truth itself, you see art itself become formless. And so everyone knows the statue in some art museum's grass in the front that just, you don't even know what the thing is. And that this is so contrary to the Christian view of the world that believes that God instituted order that we can then observe and imitate. And this is what made Bach and why people go back to Bach, is they find in him, he was a master of using that order to not be undiverse. It wasn't like he didn't do different things, but to continue to craft and build something new and changing and yet tangible. Yeah?
Exactly. And also, these men were deeply felt their religion. Certainly
sure.
Bach did, and I believe that Graupner did as well, and that by manifesting their own belief through their music, through their art, at a time when there was a lot of a theological thought going on in Germany at that time.
So I had a question there, and I just kind of lost it. Then. So one of the things that's been lost in this move, though, is that back then you mentioned Graupner had a landgrave, a political, or a wealthy man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who simply paid him to make art.
Yes.
Like, that was just what he did. And today, that's not something you see the churches right. or Christianity kind of as a whole generally doing. You only see it from, say, the federal government.
Yes, or there are private sponsors that commission works. But as institutional music, we don't see it quite the same way.
Right. I do think that I don't want to besmirch our Concordias unnecessarily. I do believe that they are striving to teach musicians. But why am I saying this to you out there, listeners? Because I think we want to recapture this. We want to believe that there is such a thing as good art and there is such a thing as bad art. And we want to strive for good art. We may not always agree whether we like it. And that's an important thing, too. Just because you like something doesn't make it good art. And because you don't like it doesn't make it bad art, right?
There's yes, some objective, absolutely.
Yeah. Can you talk about how would you objectively assess a good piece of music?
Well, as a musician, I do it through my own experiences, the pieces that I have found rewarding over the years. And as you do more and build up a bigger database, so to speak, to draw on, that it helps. And I've found that as we work with this, the musicians that come in to play this music with us find it intriguing as well on musical grounds as well.
Well, it's kind of like a language or a puzzle in some ways.
It is. And certainly as I'm transcribing from the original manuscripts and parts, there is some decoding, if you will, that I need to do as I prepare the parts so that they can be read easily by contemporary musicians.
So maybe let me compare this to two different things for the listener out there. If you are someone who doesn't have experience with high art, with music of what we might call classical music, let me compare it. I'm going to compare it to cooking, and I'm going to compare it to motorcycle maintenance. So if you're into cooking, the more you cook, the more sensitive your palate becomes, the more you're able to taste small changes in flavor. And so you maybe don't use quite as much salt, quite as much sugar. You start to touch on different things. And in some ways, what you might call comfort food, the more bland food, is something that you just don't want to kind of have anymore, because this other food just has so much complexity. In the same way, if you tinker in the garage with engines or tools or anything like that, you move from hammer and nail into increasingly complex pieces of, well, art, frankly. If you build a motorcycle from the ground up, you're doing a masterpiece, right? And music works the exact same way. And so for the worldview development today, the reason why this is Worldview Watch is to try to understand that and believe that when it comes to art in the church, particularly, whether this is the visual arts or whether this is music, that there are higher levels, and that we believe those things are good in the same way we believe that good cooking's good or a beautiful car is good. Yeah. Any thoughts on that? Can you respond?
Well, yes, I certainly would agree with that, that the more exposure you have, the more you'll get out of it, the more you put into it. I think that's just something that's true in life. And that one of the things that's so interesting about Graupner is how he uses the traditional materials, the traditional forms of his day, and the traditional instruments that he uses in ways that sometimes are quite surprising to us, quite different from other composers at that time. One of the instruments that will be featured in several pieces is the bassoon, which at that time was more an ensemble instrument and was just becoming to be regarded as a solo instrument. So we are fortunate that in St. Louis we have an amazing Baroque bassoonist, Henry Skolnick, who will be playing these quite demanding parts. Graupner himself wrote four concerti for solo bassoon that we might hear a little of as we go out. But it's the way that Graupner sort of seasons his pieces with these instruments that makes them quite intriguing and quite interesting and quite attractive.
Again, talking with Dr. Christopher Graupner, Dr. Bruce Carville, about the composer Christopher Graupner,
right.
Some pieces of which are going to be played by and presented by the Collegium Vocale of St. Louis, the Four Sacred Cantatas, Sunday, that's this Sunday, February 26th at 3 p.m. at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. Is there an admission fee?
No, it's free, although we happily accept donations.
Yeah, and as we go out then, we're going to go a little bit early here so you can hear one more piece, and this is going to have some of that bassoon in it?
It's one of the movements from one of his bassoon concerti.
And do you want to say what the title of it is real quick?
It's just a concerto for bassoon and strings.
All right, we're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I don't want to leave you without saying it. Hey friends, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back, and it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but in either case, I do look forward to waking up with you at the dawn. In the meantime, enjoy some rockin' bassoon. Thank you.
Thank you.